Romans chapter 13. I'm going to read one verse, verse 7. Romans chapter 13, verse 7. The Bible says, "Render therefore to all their dues." Then it's going to tell you that some you'll give tribute. It says, "Tribute to whom tribute is due." Then custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Some people are due some honor. They're worthy of it, according to the Bible. Okay, let's pray. Dear Father, I do believe you put this on my heart. I do believe I'm seeking to honor you with this message. But I confess I feel very inadequate, as always, but even more so today. Lord, would you help me to help your people that we might be more pleasing to thee? I pray that the Holy Spirit will do what I can't. I pray, God, that you'd be honored and glorified. I pray that the saints would be helped and edified. And I pray, God, that when we leave this place, we will be determined and resolved to improve the places that we need to improve. God, please have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't always allow the calendar to dictate what I preach. I think, obviously, most of you know that. Today is Veterans Day, and I want to preach an extremely basic, simple message. I'm almost embarrassed by how simple it is, and yet how great the need is on this subject. I'm focusing on the words at the end of that verse, "Honor to whom honor." The text is clearly saying that some people are due some honor. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Well, I think I'm due a little time off"? You ever heard that? You ever heard somebody say, "I think I'm due a raise"? A lot of times we think we're due something. And I think we would be honest enough to say today there are people in our lives that are worthy of honor. They are worthy of recognition. They are worthy of, and you can fill in the blank. But in our day, with our victim mentality and entitlement attitude, everybody believes they deserve some kind of special treatment. They really do. They want some privilege or recognition or some right because they're different. Doesn't work that way. But because of the entitlement age that we live in, I want to, before we look at honoring the honorable, I want to talk about some things that the Bible warns us of. Okay, so take your Bible and turn to Psalm 12. I don't think, if you're visiting with us, I don't think this would be considered the typical message for me to preach. I don't know what that is, though. I'm not sure what a typical sermon is. But this certainly doesn't seem like the norm for me. But I'm gonna just talk really straightforward to you and I wish God would get our attention with some of the things He's laid on my heart for this message. And speaking of the entitlement age that we're living in and how everybody feels like they deserve some kind of special treatment, the Bible says in verse 8, "The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted." Well, that's a powerful statement. When vile people are applauded, what does it mean when vilest men are exalted? When they're applauded, when they're elected, when they are rewarded. It's a shame at people that work 50, 60 hours a week hard. I mean rough, loyal to the company, loyal to the boss, loyal to the place of business, and barely can get up to $12, $13, $14 an hour, and then a guy that's all about himself making millions every year to play a game. Something's wrong with that. Whether you see it or not, something is wrong with that. God says, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. I want us all to think for just a little while. Put your thinking cap on. Ask yourself. Do some judging. We talked about that in Sunday school. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 2. 2 Chronicles 19, verse 2. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, or Hanani, however you want to pronounce that, the seer went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord?" That's a good question. Wouldn't it be something if in eternity we get judged for people that we applauded and recognized and rewarded and elected? Look at Romans 1. This one really stings if we'd be honest. I don't think we really want to be honest about it sometimes. Romans chapter 1. You know, Romans chapter 1 often gets used to talk about all these heathen, pagan, godless individuals that are listed in the crowd of verse 24 through verse 32. Among what they're doing that's so terrible, in verse 29 it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. A lot like Hollywood, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like sitcoms. Sounds a lot like television. Verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. How often are we entertained by the very things that God condemns? Here's a crowd of an awful lot of wickedness, and yet sometimes we are entertained by it. We get pleasure out of that crowd. You want me to illustrate it? You know, I'm serious about this. I was thinking, coming back from a meeting not too long ago, and some of you are going to take this wrong, but I was thinking about how years ago I started saying, yeah, you say I just watch the good shows. I've got a television, but I just watch the good stuff. And I got to thinking about that, and I got to thinking about Andy Griffith. And I got to thinking about the fact that Andy is unmarried. And Barney is unmarried. And Gomer is unmarried. And Goober is unmarried. And Aunt B is unmarried. And Howard is unmarried. And the only guy that's married is the town drunk. What a wholesome show. Think about it. I thought, well, let's go to my next favorite show, Gunsmoke. There's Miss Kitty. There's Matt. There's Festus. There's Doc. Ain't none of them married. Buddy, you could be a movie star. You ever think about that stuff? Then I thought, well, I'm gonna find one I watched. It had to have something good about it. And there I've got old Ben Cartwright and Hoss and little Joe. Ain't none of them married. But they're all a bunch of womanizers. We just love those wholesome shows that show our kids what good people live like. I'm not condemning it. I'm just trying to raise your eyebrows a little bit. And if you watch a whole lot worse than that, there's no telling what your kids are getting told. Well, that's a great illustration. Those wholesome shows. Being entertained by, you know, the school teacher that keeps going over to Andy's house, and he keeps going over to hers, but poor Opie's wondering who Mama's going to be. He had about four on that show, you know. And some of you, I hope it was her. I hope maybe he should marry her. I bet all you had your choice of who he should marry. I'm not condemning it. I'm just trying to get you to think a little bit. Who do we honor? Who do we applaud? Who do we exalt? Who do we recognize? Stop. I'm just asking you to think. I could go on and on and on, but it really is alarming to me. It really is amazing to me in our day who is applauded and exalted. And let me say this, the reason our nation now applauds and awards and exalts so many ungodly people is because we quit honoring God and His Word. And that opened up the floodgates. And because of that, we live in a culture, church. Forget the illustration, okay? We live in a culture of dishonor, disrespect, disorder, and disobedience. We've allowed liberty to become a license and rights to become rebellion. Until lewdness and rudeness is now common. That's the world we live in. And while I could easily preach about the vulgar, corrupt, hideous behavior of this world, what is so disheartening to me is the way professing Christians behave towards authority. It is dishonorable. A 16-year-old boy wrote this as a newspaper article. It was in response, I think, to an editorial that someone else had sent in. 16-year-old boy said this. True story. In response to the letter, I offer this humble letter of remorse. That letter was all about how offended a parent was that a Tomcats movie commercial featuring suggestive images was aired during a supper time episode of The Simpsons that her 9-year-old son was watching. That whole thing's whacked out, isn't it? She's been offended at some commercial while her 9-year-old is watching The Simpsons during supper. So I would have been offended that my son was watching The Simpsons. And I'd be offended that my husband would let me let my son watch it, and then I'd be offended that I was stupid enough to do it anyway. But this 16-year-old is writing in response to the fact that some woman is offended by a commercial during The Simpsons that her son saw. The 16-year-old continued, "Welcome to the real world. It is a world of WWF, rock music, swearing, fighting, violence, drugs, war, irresponsibility, sex, binge drinking, and disasters. Only a soft, yuppie boomer would object to a movie commercial." Wrong. I didn't see it, and I'm offended just thinking about it. And I can tell you one thing, I'm not. I'm not a yuppie boomer. The 16-year-old says that what needs to be banned is mind control, the kind brought on by churches, teachers, and overprotective parents. And then get this, I quote him. "No wonder," this 16-year-old boy talking, "no wonder kids smoke as 10-year-olds. They need to relieve stress and anxiety." He went on to say, "Kids today can't even live a stress-free and responsibility-free life." That's what he wants. No responsibility, no stress. I want to watch The Simpsons. Let me listen to my acid. Who are you to tell me? See, this boy wants no rules, no restrictions, no absolute authority in his life. He wants a world where we honor the dishonorable. And when some of your musicians that some of you like are swaying votes in certain states, we're in trouble. If you had to consult LeBron on how to vote in this last election, or Doc Rivers, who now is saying that the guns are the terrorists, if that's who you're seeking counsel from, or whoever these singers are, I keep hearing about them, but I don't know them, and you want to know what she thinks or he thinks about who's running for office? Who are you kidding? You're honoring the dishonorable. So that boy wants a life of irresponsibility, no rules, no authority. And that's about where the world's headed. But then there are Bible believers who are supposed to be holy, separate, and not conformed to this world. And just as many factions in our country are now creating their own culture and trying to impose their views on everybody else, God's people are supposed to honor Him and His Word, and in the process will develop their own culture. And it will not look anything like the world's. I don't know that any of you really heard that. God's people are not supposed to be conformed to this world, and in our desire to honor and please Him, it will just be the natural result that we create our own culture, and it will not look anything at all like the world's. Amen. Unfortunately, that's very rare. That is the way God designed it. That's the way God set it up. So we come to Romans 13, and it says we're to give honor to whom honor is due. Well, who is that? I think the Bible makes it pretty clear. So let's talk about it for a little while. Number one, parents. Okay, Exodus chapter 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Now in a little while, we're going to talk about how to honor your parents. But first we're looking at who are we supposed to honor. Now if you're going to have to honor somebody, you do need to find out how to do it. Okay? So I'm just looking at a list of those that we're supposed to honor. I told you this is very basic, very elementary. And we will look at how to honor, but for now, let me say two things about honoring parents. It doesn't say 5-year-olds honor your parents. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say 10-year-olds. It doesn't say teenagers. How many of you have parents still alive? Okay, that verse is for you. Honor your parents. They're in the nursing home, honor them. They don't know who you are, honor them. They're not leaving you anything, honor them. I can promise you one thing, you wouldn't have been here without them. Are you honoring your parents? Let me tell you a second thing. I can tell you what is very dishonoring. Rolling your eyes and huffing and puffing is dishonoring. Amen. Screaming and yelling is dishonoring. Amen. Don't raise your voice to your parents. And by the way, you can get in the altar anytime you want to. We need to hear this. See, this world is so influencing everybody that we've gotten comfortable with things my lost daddy wasn't comfortable with. Calling them by first name is not honoring them. Brother Williams was here last Sunday night. He told us about his field of ministry and how it's a very socialistic country. He told me Monday morning, he said, all the kids over there call their parents by first name. That's where we're headed. It's getting bad. I remember when my older brothers had friends, and I would hear them talking about their daddy and say, my old man. Mm-mm. No, my father. My dad. But not my old man. You're dishonoring. And when you dishonor your parents, you're dishonoring God. We need to get a hold of this. Back to who we're supposed to honor. Let's take our Bibles on this one and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I don't think you're going to hear this on Oprah. Or Ellen. Now we really need to know what they think about this election, don't we? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, that's your wife, according to knowledge, giving what? Honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. It dawned on me in verse 7, men like verse 7. They focus on verse 7. They look at verse 7. Hey men, you ought to study verse 7. But you have a bad habit of looking past part of it and seeing that word weaker vessel. And forgot the giving honor part. We're told to give honor to our wives. We better figure out how to do that. If we're supposed to honor them, how do we do it? We're going to get to that in just a little while, but listen to me. This so-called feminist movement is anti-Bible. The feminist movement is not about lifting women. It is not about making them something special. They're already special. A bunch of women need to rise up and say to them, we don't need your help. We like it where we're at. We're not looking for your kind of recognition. We're pretty tickled doing what God called us to do. And we don't want to lower ourselves to be like men. Why would you want to lower yourself to be equal with men? God elevated you. Your calling is high. Let me hasten to say, true Bible believers do not put down women as being inferior, but lift them up quite often above the often menial jobs of men. A wife and a mom has a high calling. Let me say this to you husbands. Don't make light of your wife's job. See, I know what my wife's got 3 kids. No, she's got 4. I've watched some of you. You see a woman walking out of here with 2 or 3 Bibles and a diaper bag and a gift somebody gave her, to gift to somebody, and one kid jerking on her skirt and another kid hollering mama, and one in one arm and one on her other hip. Where's the daddy? He's talking about the ball game. It's good to be saved, isn't it? I used to watch Brother Bob, 80 years of age, pull up in a vehicle, get out, walk around, open that door so a lady could get out of the car. Some ladies are ladies because they get treated like it. It's not a sermon on opening the door for your wife. There's a lot of ways you can honor her. But the question is, do you honor her? When you talk about her to other men, do you honor her? I'm trying to tell you, church, we're losing this. We're living in an age where they honor the dishonorable. Your wife is worthy of honor. She's due it. All right, parents, wives, number 3, civic authority. So where's the text? Romans 13, Titus 3, 1 Peter 2. We're not going to look at any of them. It's all there. I've shown it to you many times. You're supposed to honor civic authority. Isn't it sad how our country talks now about presidents? Trump. How about Mr. Trump? How about Mr. President? You say, you partial? I said the same thing when Mr. Obama was in office. Agree with them or disagree with them, like them or hate them, there ought to be a certain amount of respect for the office of the president. And that, by the way, includes law enforcement. I was down on the streets of Nashville with a bunch of men recently, Indians. They sent over 100,000 people down there. And we went down there to pass out tracts, do a little preaching and so on. And I saw three police officers standing beside each other, just whatever. And I walked away, and the Lord just nudged my heart. And I just went over to them, said, "Fellas, I'm just being very, very serious. I want you to know I greatly appreciate your service. And I want to thank you for doing a very difficult job. And I want you to know that I'm going to pray for you today." They all thanked me and I walked away. And I thought to myself, teenagers, let me ask you something. When's the last time you thanked anybody for their service? When's the last time you went up to a school teacher, a police officer, a National Guard, anybody, and thanked them? They're worthy of it. They're due some honor. I don't want their job. Now, I realize we've got some dishonorable people in positions of authority, but they're still God's servants according to the Bible. You should never allow dishonorable people to cause you to be dishonorable. David has a king who's throwing javelins and spears at him, trying to kill him, trying to destroy his life. And David honors him. Paul the apostle on trial said, "Most noble Felix, most noble Festus." Honoring authority. Right? That's Bible. At the very least, we ought to pray for them. Let me ask you a question. Ask yourself this question. Do you pray for your president? Did you pray for him yesterday? Children, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you specifically prayed for your mom? When's the last time you said, "Lord, Dad has a tough job, putting in a lot of hours. He's tired. God, how can I help him? God, what can I do to make it easier on my parents?" Honor. Men, do you pray for your wife? "Lord, here I am whining and pouting and complaining because this went bad today, and that went bad today, and this guy's upset with me, and that guy's upset with me, and I got to work for this guy that I don't like, and they don't pay me enough." When's the last time you just prayed for your wife? Am I okay? Am I in the book? Honor, honor, honor. Parents, wives, civic authority. Number four, those who labor in the Word of God. I could leave that one out since I'm a pastor, but then I would be robbing you of the truth. The way people now treat pastors is sad. I go to churches and listen to church kids, 16 years old, calling their pastor by his first name. It's not good. Say, "You think you're something special?" No, I think you're special. It's not about me anymore than it is about a president. It's about the position. And it's about recognizing what God honors instead of what this stinking world honors. But I'll leave that one alone. We're supposed to honor, according to 1 Timothy 5:3, specific widows. You want me to give you a challenge? Pray about a widow that you could be a blessing to. We have them in our church. Yeah, I'm talking about God says we're to give honor to whom honor is due, and then He tells us who to give it to. Boy, isn't it a blessing when it's easy? Wonder what that means. You don't have to wonder about this. Just laid out for you. Here's who I want you to honor, and then I'm going to tell you how to honor them. How about, how about the elderly or the aged? Leviticus chapter 19, 1 Timothy chapter 5. So we've got parents, we've got wives, civic authority, number 4, those who labor in the word of God and doctrine, number 5, specific widows, number 6, the elderly or the aged. All of those are extremely clear in the Bible. Do you agree with my philosophy at Cornerstone? I hope all of you do, that we ought to also honor the military. Amen. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Do you believe we ought to honor the missionary?
Amen.
Amen. I could give you tons of scripture on both of those. I'm not giving you a lot of scripture today because to me it's so unbelievably obvious. You say, why should I honor the military? Well, I'm going to tell you something Jesus said. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He's talking about himself. Yeah. But I know a bunch of people that laid down their lives for us. Not our soul, but our body, our livelihood, our country, our freedom. You ought to thank God for those people in World War I, World War II. I've told a lot of preachers, I get tired of everybody wanting to talk about the Civil War. Let's talk about the Vietnam War. Let's talk about World War II. Let's talk about Korea. Let's talk about World War I. Let's talk about some of the things in the last. We still got some veterans from those wars. I'm all for studying all the wars. But by the way, the further we get from them, the less you're going to get the truth about them. Paul used terms like, I saw Brother Sam this morning. Of course, he had on his hat and his Veterans Day attire. And I said, Brother Sam, I'd love to salute you, but I'm afraid I'd do it wrong. Boy, I love it when you see military saluting, don't you? Well, they snap that arm up there and they salute each other. It almost looks like they actually respect each other. You'll see why I said that in just a moment. But Paul talked about saluting certain people. A lot of them, by the way, were women. Servants who are worthy of honor. You want me to tell you somebody to honor? Somebody that takes care of your spoiled, rotten brat in the nursery. Have you even said thank you? I'm just trying to give you a test. Wednesday night, I wonder how many of you it happened to be my wife this past week. I wonder how many of you went to her and said, boy, I sure appreciate you cooking that chili and making all them peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and just being down here most of the day. And boy, that was a blessing. That was good. I wonder how many people even took the time to do that. I'm not being mean. I'm trying to help us. I'm trying to help us create our own culture. That we don't have to honor the dishonorable. We can honor the honorable. We can honor those who are worthy of some honor. Paul said there's some people you ought to hold such in reputation. Hold them in reputation. So I've listed 8 categories. 8 groups of people that we ought to honor. And above all those, would you agree with me? The one who deserves more honor than any of them as our God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we would have to add Him to the list as being first, foremost, last, and everything in between. He is the first and last. But please hear me. Now, as I get to the second part of this message, I'm going to talk about how to honor. And you can decide who you're going to apply the how to. Is that fair enough? Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs 3. Boy, there's so many I'd like to go to. I'm going to show you how to honor. Proverbs 3. Look at verse 9. Honor, is that what it says? The Lord with thy what? Substance. Boy, it'd be a shame if you get to heaven and find out you gave more money to dog food than you did to the local church. Would you agree with me? One of the ways you honor the Lord is with your giving. You ought to study Psalm 96. It says over in Psalm 96, bring an offering worthy of His name. You ask people spend several $100 to go watch a ball game. And then give $10 a week to missions. How you spend your money is one of the ways you honor. Some of you pay homage to Walmart 3 or 4 times a week. or Amazon now, I guess. You got prime, double prime, super prime. I'm not saying that's wrong. But if we look at your checkbook, we can say who you honor. You know, the Bible says, I guess I got missions conference on my mind. The Bible does say where your treasure is, there will your heart be. It doesn't say where your heart is, there will your treasure be. It's almost like your heart follows your treasure. Whatever you invest and give to is what you'll end up giving your heart to. It's what it looks like. And so how do you honor? Well, with your spending, with your giving. Can I tell y'all something that ought to be a blessing to you? Last week we gave a missionary, y'all ready? $5,000. Been aware for 27 years, we just decided his due. Isn't that a blessing to be able to hand somebody $5,000? Yeah, we wanted to. It was a blessing to do it. They used to call that an honorarium. Didn't they? An honorarium. God said this in Malachi chapter 1. They were bringing him their leftovers. They were bringing, you know, he's supposed to bring the best, the unblemished. And they were keeping the best for themselves and bringing God the culled animals. And he said, where is mine honor? He said, you wouldn't give this to the governor. Right? That's what he said. Now, remember, I said you can decide who you're going to apply this to. I gave you 9 different groups, counting the Lord, of people you're supposed to honor, and you're supposed to honor them with your giving. That's one way you honor people. Let's go to Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29. I could go to several places to show you this, but verse 13. Wherefore, the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips, do what? Honor me. He doesn't condemn that. Yes, what he criticizes is at the end of it, he says they remove their heart far from him. And so it's not in their heart, but he doesn't condemn. You're supposed to honor someone with your lips. Let me say it this way, with your speech. It might be praise or it might just be respectful terminology, like Mr. Boy, when some kid says something to me about Otis, boy, I want to hit him. That would be brother or mister to you. By the way, some of you need to be careful about paps. Don't get mad at me. He probably likes it. There needs to be some respect shown. Everybody okay? You see, I've asked myself, is this a cultural thing where in the South it's yes sir, no sir, mister and missus and all that? It's not a cultural thing. It's showing respect to your authorities and to the elderly and to the aged. Everybody okay? This is, man, you men especially you men ought to be just amening this to death. This we're going to lose this stuff if we're not careful. I think we're on the verge of it. We don't want to lose. If these kids are not taught to show respect, what are they going to be like when they're in their 30s and 40s? It's a matter of honoring who God says we're supposed to honor. I taught in our last couples class that how we speak to our wife and children is important. I'm talking about how you honor with your speech. The tone that you use to talk to your wife. You honoring her? We're supposed to, aren't we? Not going back up on me, are you? We saw where we're supposed to honor our wife. We can sure dishonor them with our mouth. I despise when somebody says to me, yeah, the man upstairs. The big guy. Young people, how do you talk to your parents? Is it with honor or disgust? Say, you don't know my mama. Probably know her better than you do. You're looking through eyes that you're gonna find out in a few years how different you're gonna see things. You know what I've started noticing about our culture that is very disheartening, church? Please hear me. It's how many people rarely say thank you. I am amazed at how rare it is for so many people just to say thank you. And how few people know how to compliment. Let's go to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. Wow. You know how this all started out? I felt like the Lord laid it on my heart to talk about our veterans. And to preach sort of a Veterans Day message. And I'm going to probably, Lord willing, I'll say more about that tonight. But we certainly ought to honor them. Amen. They're worthy, aren't they? Amen. And I guess I feel like we got to figure out how if we're going to do it. And we certainly don't want to limit honoring our veterans. There's others we're to honor. The Bible says this in chapter 19, verse 32. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. Thou shalt what? Rise up before the hoary head. And what? Honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. You know how we can honor people with our body language. And by rising up, by our posture. I want to say something. I'm afraid some of you will take it so personal you'll misunderstand the heart. Some of you have been very dishonoring just this morning. We've become a very sloppy, slothful, lazy culture. We don't stand up. We barely even sit up. You can bow. I'm talking about body language. You can bow. You can raise your hands. Listen, if a man named Hitler could get that, how much more does our God deserve? Yes, amen. You'll applaud the Vols or the Tide or the Bulldogs, and you won't lift your hands for God. There's something wrong with that. You're to show Him honor. You can bow. You can kneel. You can raise your hands. You can stand. You can salute. But just don't sit there. There's times when the words of a song or a sermon or whatever are just so honoring to God, your body ought to react to it. One of the greatest blessings I've got over the years is being in my study behind my desk talking to Brother Jim and Brother Brad, and a real small knock on the door because Brother Bob Johnson knew I didn't expect him to knock. I told him he could walk right in any time he wanted to. And Brother Bob Johnson walked in my study, which he did 2 and 3 and 4 times a week for about 20 years. And as soon as he walked in, Brother Brad and Brother Jim stood up. That's the way it ought to be. That's a good thing. But our body language, I'm telling you what, we're listening to a man that spent hours preparing to preach to us. Our body language. I'm not beating you up. I'm telling you, this is where we've come as a culture. This is what's happened to our society. And I think we ought to raise a generation that says, praise the Lord, we're going to do better than that. And your children will do better than I did. And your grandchildren do better than they did. Listen, men, if I could take back every negative, critical, loud thing I ever said to my wife, I'd give everything I've got to take it back. But you can't. So I'm telling some of you young men, don't make that mistake. Amen. Amen. So he says, rise up. Body language. By the way, I'm not just talking about doing that because it's a ritual or, well, at our church, they tell us stand up when some old man walks in. I'm talking about the attitude of your heart. When I saw Brother Sam Torrance in 1988, he stood up straight. His legs were stronger than mine. His mind sharp as a tack. And when he walked in, he could walk like a 30-year-old. He's not walking like a 30-year-old anymore. He's worthy of your honor. He said, I don't like... He's worthy of your honor. As is a lot of other men in this building right now.
Amen.
And they walk by you, and you won't even turn around and say, "Good morning, Brother Sam. Hey, Brother Otis, how you doing?"
Amen.
That's the world you live in. I'm not beating you up. I'm trying to say, let's change it. Let's create the right kind of culture so God would smile upon us and bless us. And there'll be a remnant of Bible-believing Christianity left in this country that's going sour every day. I'm not beating you up. I'm trying to help you so that we can do a better job. We're looking at ways to honor with our giving, our speech, our body language. How about our obedience? That's pretty obvious, isn't it? One of the ways you honor is by obeying. You can decide how you're going to apply these. Apply this to your wife. Apply this to whoever those nine groups are. You do the application. How about by setting apart? In other words, when you honor a piece of furniture, somebody gave you an heirloom, somebody gave you something that's breakable, man, you'll put it in a glass case and put it on the wall and put a lock and key on it. That thing's worthy of honor. I'm going to give that a special place. Well, there's people worthy of honor. Let them have the front seat. Let them have the end seat. Let them sit on the platform. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. There are people that are worthy of that. Oh, well, how come he could sit right there? Because you don't. It's okay. I sure want to honor the people that God wants me to honor. I've done a sloppy job of it. I wished I'd have been taught this when I was 18. I wished I'd have been taught this when I was 13. I wasn't. Young people, don't talk to your mom like she's an equal. Don't talk to your dad like he's an equal. Show special regard for those who've earned it by their sacrifice, their faithfulness, their commitment, their selflessness. How in the world are you going to do that? By your spending, by your speech, by your standing, by your submission, and by your setting apart. You see, we live in a day where they're tearing down statues of men who are worthy of honor while paying millions of dollars to vulgar athletes. Look who America's honoring. May God help us to honor those He honors. Missionaries instead of movie stars. Soldiers instead of sports heroes. Parents over our peers and our wives more than our work. Let's give honor to whom God says give honor to. Give it to. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor." Let's honor Him above all else. You know, every now and then somebody will ask me why God does something. Why did He allow this and why did He allow that? And we get bitter towards God and mad at God when He's worthy of what? Honor. And we get angry with Him. And I don't know why this crossed my mind. I was out working yesterday. I was actually out cutting wood. And I thought of the people that have an attitude of, "Who does God think He is telling me what to do?" Matter of fact, I preached a sermon one time entitled, "Who Does God Think He Is?" That was the title of the sermon. You know who He thinks He is? God! So much so that He said, "Man, I searched all through heaven, couldn't find anybody else. I'm it." God thinks He's God. I think He's right! And I thought of the people that have this attitude of, "Who does God think He is?" And I'm talking about some little 150-pound scrawny runt that struts around like, "Look at me." You ever seen somebody like that? And you think we're supposed to honor you and you won't honor Him? It's a messed up world we're living in. We don't deserve the honor. He does. And He tells us who to honor and tells us how to do it. We ought to make a habit of it. Amen. Let's all stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.